lot to cover. So if you'll bear with me this morning, I'm a little raspy. I was at a wedding yesterday and we were speaking over a lot of music. So bear with me. If you can't hear me, say, speak up, John. All right, let's pray. Father, you're good to us. You've given us mercy through your Son. You've shown us grace through your Son. You've awakened us to give us new mercy this day, Lord. We pray that we would hear your word with gladness and that we would run to the fount of salvation, Lord. And I pray that you would guide us. And I pray that you would speak through your word to us today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Article 28, if you have your little confessional booklets, Article 28 of the Belgic Confession. And so reads, we believe that since this holy assembly and congregation is the gathering of those who are saved, and there's no salvation apart from it, people ought not to withdraw from it, content to be by themselves, regardless of their status or condition. But all people are obliged to join and unite with it, keeping the unity of the church by submitting to its instruction and discipline, by bending their necks under the yoke of Jesus Christ, and by serving to build up one another according to the gifts God has given them as members of each other in the same body. And to preserve this unity more effectively, it is the duty of all believers, according to God's word, to separate themselves from those who do not belong to the church in order to join this assembly wherever God has established it, even if civil authorities and royal decrees forbid and death and physical punishment result. And so, all who withdraw from the church or do not join it act contrary to God's ordinance. Pretty cut and dry, right? Let's clarify why we should meet together. There you go. We're done, right? Debray, the author of the Confession, makes this point that if you were saved, there is no way that you would not want to be a part of the fellowship of the saints. The heart has been enlightened to the knowledge of Christ and wants to rejoice together with those who have been partakers of the heavenly gift, who have had the light of the gospel shown in their hearts. So we should long to come together to celebrate the saving work of Jesus. As ones who know this good news, we would not be content. We would not be content being a Lone Ranger Christian. As a matter of fact, there is no such thing. There is no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. I've heard people say that to me. I've heard comments from a co-worker, I don't need to go to church to be saved. Those words were uttered from my mouth. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. But then I heard the word of God, and I felt the Spirit. Well, I didn't feel the Spirit. God ordained his Spirit to work within me to see the truth of this in his word, that why would I deprive myself of knowing who he is through the gospel of Jesus Christ? And why would I deprive myself of brothers and sisters like yourselves encouraging me weekly, sometimes daily? This is the aim for today. So we're told to not neglect the gathering of the saints. Where does that come from? That comes from Hebrews 10, 24, 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So, as a people who have had our hearts sprinkled with a clean from an evil conscience, why would we not want to come together and rejoice? Wouldn't you desire to hear of the truest and purest, the truest and purest love of your life. Wouldn't you want to prepare to see him and know him and to gather as his family, as his bride? In the same passage, we see instruction to gather together, to stir up one another to love and good works. Well, how can this occur if you forsake the assembly? Our hope is that in our weekly meeting, we are being sanctified by God's truth. That's his word, John 17:17. How can one be exhorted daily so he does not become hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, as in Hebrews 3, if he has pulled himself away from at least the weekly gathering of the saints? In our weekly assembly, we hear the word of God preached, we partake of the sacraments, and we sharpen one another through these means, reminding one another of the goodness and mercy we share in Christ Jesus. During the week, we have our Wednesday night Bible study. On Sunday nights, we are going through systematic theology. These are places where we come together to take advantage of learning about the lover of our souls. This is where we come together to exhort, admonish, and love one another, to encourage one another to see the beauty of the lover of our souls. Believers are under compulsion by the Holy Spirit to be a part of a congregation such as this. We as believers hear the shepherd calling to us because we are his sheep, so we will follow him, John 10:27. We are a small sheepfold, of course. We're growing, as we see weekly sometimes, which is one of many congregations that make up the universal church, to which Steve spoke last week. The universal church, the Holy Catholic Church. So what are these obligations of us as church members? Well, during our weekly meetings, we hear the proclamation of God's word so that we will rejoice with one another with ears longing to hear of the great shepherd. Christians should desire to submit to the model that God has set up by being under an eldership, which submits to the preaching and teaching of God's word, the 66 canonical books of the Bible. Having Christ as his head, as the head. Believers in this and every truly Christian congregation have an obligation to God and to one another to use their gifts to edify one another. These obligations are this. First, number one, to submit to church instruction and discipline. Hebrews 13, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. I'm not saying this so that you blindly follow or listen to your elders and your pastor, which Anthony is an elder as well, but he is my pastor, I say that. He doesn't like the role of pastor. He likes to be considered an elder. We're all elders. And we're all pastors, but the world has some kind of influence here on me, Anthony. I got you. I digress. So we're not saying that, you know, we're there to heed the words of God. We're making sure that we are watching over your souls and our souls. And I'm not saying this to follow blindly. Be a Berean. Examine the scriptures to see what we say is true. And if not, you need to confront us. And we need to work this out somehow or other within the confines of scripture. Galatians 1:6-10. This is Paul speaking to the Galatians. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. The benchmark is God's word. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God, or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Elders, as I said before, should not hold their position above the congregation to oppress, but to serve, by making known Jesus Christ and his truth made readily available through his word. Elders are tasked to watch over your souls as ones whom God has entrusted. The goal of the pastor and or elders should be to continually remind and teach the congregation about the beauty of Jesus Christ and how to persevere in light of this truth. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. So I exhort the elders among you as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly. Notice the wording in the confession, if you refer back to the confession. Bending their necks under the yoke of Christ. A yoke, I guess, just to clarify what a yoke is, a yoke being something that a farmer places on the neck of two animals to steer it to achieve desired results. If there are two animals, usually we think of an oxen, right? And they're not yoked together, what happens? You know, even if they're tied together by a strap, they're going to be intertwined. There's going to be a conflict. They're going to be trying to go their own way. So there's a danger in that. As ones who desire to go where God leads, we should bend our necks to be under his guidance and means which he has appointed. By God's grace, our desire is to be under his yoke and see God's goodness, understanding that it is his yoke, or means of directing or guiding. It's not oppressive, but it's freeing. I just had this thought. If you're on a roller coaster, you go where the roller coaster takes you, right? Because you're in that roller coaster. So if we're under the yoke of Christ, we're going to go where he guides us if we're submitting to that yoke. If we're bending our necks under the yoke, which is Christ, our guide, the one who directs us, the one who cares for our souls, the one who loves our souls. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The rest is in Christ's work. The rest is in Christ's work, not ours. We're not finding our rest in our work. We're finding our rest in Christ's work, just to clarify. So we also, number two, we need to serve one another with our gifts. We are to serve one another. Why? Because Christ has loved and served us. Mark 10:45 reads, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. That's why you're here. That's why we rejoice. That's why we gather. Because he saved us, not because of anything we've done, but because of what he has done. And we are weekly reminded in this congregation that this is the good news that we share with one another. So we are to build up one another according to the gifts God has given us as members of one body. Where do we find this scripturally? 1 Corinthians 12:4-7. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What's the common good? Anthony reminds us week in and week out, right? To see a beautiful Savior. That's our common good. Notice, this is not to isolate us to place our gifts on display, but for the common good of the body. Someone doesn't stand up. Anthony doesn't stand up and use his preaching gift. So you look at him and go, wow, what a great preacher. His gifting is used to edify the body. It's for the common good of you and I to receive God's word, to hear God's word, to know God's word, to submit and love God's word. Ephesians 4:11 through 16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, the body of Christ, till we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, here's what we're supposed to do. Speak the truth in love. We're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. In love. We're also to separate from those who don't belong to the church. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 6, 18. If you have your Bibles, turn there. It's a long passage, and I don't want you to get lost while I'm reading through this passage. 2 Corinthians 5, 20, and I'm going to read through chapter 6, verse 18. Corinthians 5:20 through 6:18. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you. For in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. By great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise, we are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing, I always use this one, as having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted in your own affections. In return, I speak as to children. Widen your heart also. Do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Excuse me. What accord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion does a believer share with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, as God said, I will make my dwelling among them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. You seen the oxen picture again? Unequally yoked. If you're torn in two directions, there's no peace. Which one are you going to follow? Thank God he has put us under his yoke, and he keeps us, he sustains us by guiding us under the yoke of Christ. But we also need to keep watch to make sure that we're not trying to yoke ourselves to unbelievers in the sense that we're being there's so much influence that they tear it away, that they pull us in their direction. We have been given new affections, and we would have trouble in our hearts living contrary to God's word through the Spirit's illuminating our hearts. Our entire worldview has been upended if, in fact, we are His. The things that matter in your life will inevitably arise in your lifestyle and conversation. Therefore, as I just stated, there will be an uneasiness with friendship of those who are not Christ. An uneasiness. So we're still to associate with sinners, otherwise how would we share the gospel, right? We're still to associate, guard up, but not those who bear the name of Christ and live in open rebellious sin. That said, there's a huge difference between associating and being yoked together. I'm thinking yoked together, there's marriage, there's relationships, there's where that person has more influence than these people here in the congregation.
Yeah, John, what do you mean by the uneasiness?
Uneasiness where there's always going to be, there's always that tension. I have a friend who's an unbeliever. I can spend time fishing with him, I can build with him, and it's gotten to the point where it's foolishness for me to share until God opens. It's usually him that's asking the questions of me. So there are parameters I put up when I spend time with this guy. You know, I love him. I wish he would turn and live. That's not my work. My work is to share the gospel when given the opportunity to share the gospel. So there's the uneasiness, but there's always the tension. Because inevitably, it will turn back to God. The conversation will, so what do you think on this? What is your perspective on this? And of course, I don't shrink back at this point. I will share the gospel. My wife can attest to the fact that I'm going on a tangent here, but I cried talking to this guy at one point. And there was a huge time of separation, you know, probably 10, 12 years where I separated myself from him because he was angry at God for what God had done in me because I'm unequally yoked in a relationship where, you know, I'm hanging out. He's trying to influence me. I'm going, I don't want to be part of that. So what you watch, what you listen to, where you give your heart, where you spend most of your time, I guess. So does that make sense, Steve?
Yeah, just I think the word uneasy, you know, it's hard.
Yeah, it's not, I guess it's not.
Not that it's a problem with the word, it's just how we kind of look at that.
Yeah.
Know,
no, no, no. No, it makes sense because you deal with family members who are non-believers, right? I mean, I think everybody here would probably say they have a family member who's a non-believer. You associate with them. There's a commonality with my brothers and my sisters because, you know, we have the same mother, father. But there's a time when I will just say I cannot be a part of that. I'm not going to yoke myself to that. Of course, we know that Christ has yoked us to Him. That's the good news that you and I and everyone in this room will share if, in fact, we are His.
Yeah, first, think like our relationship with brothers and sisters.
It's tough.
It's just going to look different.
Yes.
It's totally different than it will with the world, you know, because of what we do share, you know, how God has yoked us together.
Yes.
That's the word He.
Right.
That's kind of the beauty when we talked about the last article, too, is that He's done that work.
Right.
Why should we then go back to the world and yoke ourselves in that same way to those who, like you said, take us in a different direction?
Right. Yeah, it is, especially when, you know, you have, because there's conflict with love. I see the sign as love is love, and going, we don't understand what love is. You know, the only reason we really have an understanding of love because Christ first loved us. So when we see that love, it surpasses all other loves and affections that we know. So, I mean, I could say, well, yeah, but I love that person. I want to spend time with that person. There is no such thing, we're doing Anthony here, as missionary dating.
John, I see what you're saying.
There's no such thing. Gotcha.
To Steve's point, was there an uneasiness when Paul approached Peter?
Well, I mean, you know, he was still a little, I mean, if you're getting to the point where there was an apprehension, where are you talking about when he confronted him to his face?
Well, not just to his
well, if we have the commonality of Christ, I mean, fortunately, we had the Bible to tell us where to go. So, I mean, those guys were, God was speaking through them to create the New Testament. So, see, here's the difference. I can talk to my friend, and he doesn't get it. He's not instructed by the Word of God. He's not yoking himself under Christ. Right, but I'm saying to you and I, I'm going to go, okay, you have liberty to do certain things, but when there are things that are black and white in Scripture, we need to sit and talk about it. We need to go and we need to work. Well, I'm not, yeah, I mean, that's, well, obviously if we're saying, yeah, I'm not. I would.
All right, I got it.
No, I would. I would argue those.
The question I had was, can you expound a little bit on the common good for all of our gifts?
We're working together, whether it be preaching, teaching. This guy has been encouraging me, sending prayer requests out. Rob Pascal. I wasn't going to name anybody by names, but I so appreciate that. He's using his gifts. He's an encourager. You know, so. That works to edify me. I spent the last couple of days with James Eagle. We're sitting, we're talking, and Jerry, and you know, it's just all these things come back to the main thing, Chuck. If that makes sense, does that make sense to everybody? The main thing is the main thing. That's what we're going to do. The main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to forsake the assembly, to not hear that week in and week out.
Okay, so
I don't want to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I'm going to bring. They all flow around this one thing to see a beautiful Savior, as we're reminded week in and week out by Anthony.
Okay.
When he says to you, why are you here?
Are chosen and or affirmed how?
By people around you, by your elders, thinking if you first, if you think you have a gift, those are things we could talk about, but this is more or less how we work together. This is do not forsake the assembly, because you're depriving yourself of something that God has ordained. We're already in time. I'm sorry. It's not other. Well, yeah, you're. So, I just said how Rob sends out an email weekly, and I'm encouraged by that. Is he working in his spiritual? He's an encourager. I mean, you know, that's something I see. Well,
we covered the Bible study really pretty deeply.
And I would love to attend Bible study.
No, I'm saying it for this reason. I have all the notes in a file. I can send you the notes, and you can read the exposition of the text in Ephesians 4
right.
That lays out and answers the exact question you're asking. It probably is it's a little bit more extensive to answer if you're asking a more of a deeper question about how to identify
right.
Those things and use them in the body.
Yeah.
If you want me to, I can send that to you.
Yeah, that's.
I'm willing to answer the thing.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, that's like Anthony said. That's more detailed. This is more like, don't forsake the assembly. You have an obligation to be part of one another as a body. Like I chop my hand off, I got to work something differently. You know, it's that kind of thing. Where are we in time? All right. All right. Did you get the gist of this teaching? All church members are to be under the yoke of Christ. So to forsake it is to forsake Christ. It's to deny yourselves the gifts that God has given us within the confines of his word. That's how we know these giftings. That's how we know how we're to interact with one another through his word. You know, we get to participate week in and week out here. We hear the preaching of God's word and with the sacraments. You know, or the two sacraments, the preaching of God's word and partaking of the sacraments. So, all right, let me pray. Father, you are so good to us, Lord. And we just pray that you would keep us and you would guide us by your Spirit and hold us. Lord, I want to pray for Ari, as Rob has reminded us through the email. And we ask for protection and the doctors to know what's going on there, that they would give them some answers, Lord, but most of all, we pray that they would find their hope, joy, peace, and rest in you, and that they would submit to your will in this and love you because of this. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.